and welcome to Vision Extra, coming to you from Vision Australia Radio. Peter Greco with you. And with us is this year's winner of the Dog Guide Handlers Australia's Judith Killen Golden Harness Award, Joyce Jones. Joyce, welcome and congratulations.
Many thanks, Peter.
Now, you were actually at the conference, weren't you?
Yes, I was at the conference. This was held in Sydney at Brighton Le Sands last weekend, actually.
And what was it like when your name was called out to be winner of the Golden Harness Award?
I was stunned because I'm secretary of the organisation, have been so for many years, and I'm on the National Conference Organising Committee, and whenever the Golden Harness Award came up, I was led to believe that it was going to be awarded to someone else. So when my name came up, I almost went through the floor. I was quite shocked.
Well, you better not tell us who the person that was being told to you was going to win it, because that might be a bit unfair on them. So,
that was to be a posthumous award, Peter.
Okay.
So no one's been injured there.
Okay, that's great news. Now, the award is... I guess in recognition of the outstanding efforts in fostering, representing, promoting, enhancing and also protecting the interests of people blind or vision impaired in the area of awareness and people who have dog guides. They're lovely words, aren't they?
They are lovely words. My usage of guide dogs goes back to 1974. I'm up to my ninth guide dog, and with each dog I have found that circumstances have been different, the dog's been different, the requirements have been different, the training's been different, and I've always given the guide dog schools, the two of them, Melbourne and Brisbane, a great deal of feedback, and I've also done a great deal of work in the community, going around giving talks on guide dogs in the community, and I've also served as a mentor or an advisor to other people training with guide dogs and settling in with guide dogs. So I've been heavily involved now for about 48 years.
Yeah. Well, back in the 70s, I mean, that was fairly early days for guide dogs, particularly in Australia.
That's right. I think the early 1950s was when they got going. I know that my first guide dog was number 400, I think.
Jay. It's a bit like the Australian cricket cap, isn't it? They can be numbered and trace them back.
Well, that's right.
Tell us a little bit about your situation, because I know at the moment you're in, would you call it country Queensland or rural
country,
Queensland?
Country Queensland, yeah.
Have you always lived there?
No, I've lived in New South Wales. I've lived in Queensland for 30 years, and I spent my childhood and university days and early working life in New South Wales.
Okay. And what about, I guess, the differences, particularly from a dog guide and the sort of work that they do and the requirements compared to, say, country Queensland?
Well, certainly, I'm actually in a provincial city in Queensland, but certainly it's different here to what it is in Sydney. But I've also noticed a difference in the actual guide dogs themselves. Temperamentally, they've become gentler, milder, and easier to handle than the earlier guide dogs, which were very... aggressive, pushy sort of animals.
Okay.
These were back in the 1970s. But guide dog training is changing because one of their major functions is destination finding, and this is being taken over more and more by assistive technology. Yeah. The GPS and the various apps which help people to find their way through the soundscape, so to speak, and emphasis on some of the earlier responsibilities of a guide dog could change with this new technology.
Have you embraced that, Joyce, or are you a bit old-fashioned?
Up to a point. I've had a GPS, but I only use it very rarely when going into an area that I haven't really been in before. I just tend to rely on the dog because I've just become such a dog user.
Yeah. You talked about the temperaments and how they've changed. Of course, a lot of work has gone into breeding, hasn't it?
That's right. Yes, there have been experiments with breeding and that type of thing, but they still seem to be falling back on the Labrador and the Golden Retriever. I have heard of Labradoodles and Poodles and... Alsatians, German Shepherds and that type of thing over the 48 years that I've had guide dogs, but I always seem to wind up with a Labrador or a Golden Retriever.
So I'm just trying to do the maths here, which is always a dangerous thing. Nine guide dogs over 40-odd years, so that's a reasonable turnover, although you do spend a fair bit of time with one. I guess it depends
unfortunately, a few of them died early. Things like pancreatitis and cancer do afflict guide dogs. For nine dogs in 48 years. So they've only been, there are two of them who didn't last the full distance. So that's just unfortunate, particularly the case with pancreatitis. That dog was only 4 years old.
Oh, crikey.
And cancer also struck another dog. So these things do happen. I think the golden retrievers and labradors are particularly prone to sicknesses of various kinds.
Mm.
But because they're easy to train and because they're easy to send over to a new owner, as opposed to, for example, a collie or a one of these one-person dogs, I think that they still tend to use them.
What about in your local area? You say you do talks and raise awareness. I guess you'd be after being there 30 years, you'd be a bit of a local hero, or
that's
certainly
right.
Be well known.
A personality in my guide dogs have been. I often walk along the street and hear people say, "Oh, here comes Corey," or "Here comes Quinny," or "Here comes Todd." You know, the dog gets a personality as well.
That's a good thing, you think?
Oh, I think so. It's all part of acceptance of people with disability and the various various things that we have to use to facilitate ourselves, because the dog is such a living, breathing, loving animal. People do like them.
Yeah. What about the kids? Are you a bit of a hit with the kids?
Very much a hit with the kids, because they do tend to love the dogs. It's a bit of a problem to keep them away from the dog while it's working. They want to come up and pat it.
Yeah. Well, what about in terms of advocacy, or maybe more to the point, perhaps not being allowed not being allowed entry into places where you normally would be or legally would be? Have you had much issue in that sort of area?
Unfortunately, many guide dog users are still experiencing this one. I've been refused entry to a bus by a driver who came from a country where the dog is not popular, not well liked. I've heard of people being refused entries to taxis and so on. So there are these pockets of resistance. One of the subjects that we discussed at the conference on the weekend was the need for strong legislation. And the legislation is there, and it just needs to be constantly reinforced. It's a matter of public education, I think.
Mm. What about the conference overall, apart from the highlight of you winning the Judith Killen Golden Harness?
It was an excellent conference. We stopped at Brighton Le Sands, and the hotel staff were very good. They were trained in how to offer us the assistance that we had. We had a good conference dinner where the award was made. Very good sessions with talks from various people who knew about subjects, and it was just a good get together for dog guide handlers.
What about the peer support? What was that like?
Excellent. Mm. The good thing there is that when we do go to conference, we meet up with people that we've known for many long years. But on the other hand, we always meet up with new people as well.
One of the things I've said that I've never had a guide dog, but when you see or hear two people who have got guide dogs and they meet, even for the first time, you can sort of sense this almost immediate bond between them. It's really
very much so. It's just sort of been there, done that together, you know.
Yeah.
It's, there are certain things that we've been through and certain skills that we have, which mean that there's just an instant communication. I think we're a class out on our own.
That's a very lovely thing. What about the fact that obviously in your time when you have to say goodbye to a guide dog?
Well, that's just heartbreaking, particularly if it comes before its time. I think it is for everyone, but usually when they're about 10 or 11 years old, they go to the happy hunting ground, and it's always a very, very sad time. What I've noticed in my later dogs is that I've been able to keep the retired one at home, and that's another good experience as well too, because the old dog tends to be a bit glad to retire. They do tend to slow down a bit, and they've got this young dog to play with in the house, but they don't have to go out to work anymore. it's just very enjoyable having two dogs in the house.
Yeah. And what about then moving on to your next dog? I guess you've got to adjust and adapt a little bit as well?
Oh, very much so, because each dog is just so different. You know, they're like human beings. They're no two alike.
Yeah.
And you have to adjust to the personality and to the awarenesses of a new dog.
I've talked about some of the reasons for you winning it, the outstanding effort in the areas of fostering, representing, promoting, enhancing, and also protecting the interests of people who are blind or vision impaired. You're a very active person in your community, apart from the work with the DGHA.
That's right. I'm in the Labor Party. I'm vice president of my branch and of a couple of sub-branches. I'm also a representative. I represent vision impaired people on the Toowoomba Regional Council Regional Access and Disability Advisory Committee, and I'm also very heavily involved in Blind Citizens Australia. I'm secretary of the women's branch, so I go to all their conferences and get caught up in all their business as well as being president of Blind Citizens in Toowoomba. So it's a very busy time all the time.
Yeah. What about your political aspirations, your political interest? You know, someone like you being involved as you are, you think that sort of message gets through to the politicians eventually?
Oh, it does. For many years now, I've been an elected delegate to state conference in Queensland, and I go down to state conference where policies are struck, and I certainly let them know my attitudes towards many of the services that are being provided or could be provided better here in Queensland.
And what are you thinking at the moment? Does it look like a May federal election?
A May federal election? No idea about that one. It's going to be a close call, whichever way it goes.
Okay. Yeah, I think the polls can sometimes be a little bit misleading. I have a feeling that even though Labor might have a nice little lead at the moment, I think when that date gets closer, the results might be a little closer than the polls are indicating at the moment. That's just my hunch.
Yeah, I think so. I think that Queensland has a tendency to sort of heave to the right when an election comes along anyway.
Yeah. And you've had the ScoMo bus there going through the areas of Queensland. What about for the Golden Harness itself? What do you actually win, Joyce? What do you physically take away?
It feels like a piece of glass, but it's actually resin. And it's a lovely shape, and it's got writing on it.
Okay.
Which says that I win the Golden Harness Award for this year. It's a lovely sort of thing that you'd like to have sitting up in the hands for everyone to look at.
And you've got it. Did you know Judith Killen?
No, I didn't know Judith Killen. She comes from Western Australia, yeah. I think. She came from Western Australia, the late Judith Killen. But I have heard a great deal about her, and she certainly was a very great activist, and I think it's good that the Golden Harness Award has been named in her honour.
Yes, we've had Rowena Dowling and Ray Joyce before you. So you joined an elite company, but you certainly deserve to be amongst that company. So again, congratulations. Love to talk to you. Keep up your good work in all areas that you're doing. You're a wonderful advocate. And again, thank you for your time.
Many thanks, Peter.
That's Joyce Jones. That's fantastic. Joyce, on the weekend, being presented with the Judith Killen Golden Harness Award for outstanding efforts in the area of fostering, representing, promoting, enhancing and also protecting the interests of people blind or vision impaired, particularly in the area of dog guides. If you want more information, they've got a very good website too, dgha.org.au is their website, and I'm sure very soon that interview will probably be up there, which will be great. So well done to Erica, Greg, Nadia and all the team. That is it for the program. If you've missed some of it, you can go to our website, www.varadio.org/podcast. The program to look for is Vision Extra. That's the name of this one, and it'll be back on this radio station at the same time next week.